have a seat. We're in the series that we're calling Why Believe, and we're thinking about a really good question, a big question that is worth examining really all the way through our lives. And maybe that's a question that's sort of new to you. You're trying to figure out, why should I believe in Jesus Christ? Why should I possibly put my faith and trust in a person who lived 2,000 years ago for eternity? Well, that's a valid question. Or maybe you've sort of worked through that, but you've got people in your lives, maybe kids or parents or friends that are grappling with this question seriously, and you'd really like to be able to walk with them in that journey. Well, it's my hope either way that this series is going to give you some tools to hang on to as we think about why we should believe in Jesus Christ, an important question. And we've talked through several different reasons already. We talked about some reasons to believe that God exists at all. We talked about that the first week. And then last week, Neil led us as we thought about how Jesus calls us to a better way than the world offers us. And I think that's important too. Now, as we think about this big question, one of the things that we have to work through is the evidence that we have. And before I move on, I should say, if you have other questions, we really would like to hear those, because we'd like to sort of tailor this to what's on your mind. So if you've got questions that fit with this, just write them on your Connect card, and we'll get them during the week. Send them in to our email or text address that's in the bulletin for Sunday Unpacked, and we'll either talk about them in here or for Sunday Unpacked. So please do that. Now, The different questions that we're dealing with and the evidence that's there sort of falls in two main categories. And the first category is this. Did these events actually really occur? Well, that matters, right? When we look at the Bible, we have a record of things that the biblical authors say happened, especially surrounding Jesus. And as we think about the key events in the life of Jesus, we want to know, did that actually happen, or did somebody just make this up? So that really does matter, and there's evidence to support that. We're going to talk about that a little bit later today. So there's that big question. Did these things actually happen? Because if they didn't, there's really no reason to follow Jesus. But if they did, the second big question is, what does it mean? What is the meaning behind these events? Okay, so I believe Jesus was a real person who lived on the earth and lived for about 30 years and taught people, performed miracles, died, was even raised from the dead. Okay, what does that mean for me and the way that I live my life? What does that mean for my family? What does that mean for eternity? And we have to grapple with both sides of that. Now, the first week in the series, I sort of dealt with some of the is this real stuff, because we talked about why we could believe God exists. Neil talked about more, okay, what does this mean for us, and that Jesus does show us a new way. Today, I'd like to look at one passage that I think deals with both sets of questions. And we're staying in 1 Corinthians throughout this series. We talked about a couple of really important passages in chapter 1 and chapter 2. And if we were naming the really key passages all the way through 1 Corinthians, we'd talk about chapter 13 that talks about love. You'd be familiar with that. And it's often read at weddings, though it applies to all kinds of human relationships and even our relationship with God. But I don't think that there's a chapter in this letter that is surpassed for its importance in us understanding who Jesus is and what he's all about. I don't think there's one more important than chapter 15. And today, that's where I want us to look. Now, I don't have time to teach all the way through chapter 15 today. So what I would encourage you to do, even if you've read it before, might have been a while, spend some time, sometime this week, this afternoon or later in the week, and read all the way through 1 Corinthians 15, because it is a key chapter in the whole New Testament and certainly in this one letter that helps us understand some important facts about who Jesus was, what he did, and what it means for us. So in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is talking about resurrection because some of the people in Corinth were sort of struggling with that concept. Like, did Jesus really teach that we're all going to be raised from the dead? Well, Paul wants to talk about that. But he begins with that first question: was Jesus really raised from the dead? Did that actually happen? This is what he says, beginning in verse 3. He says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." So he's saying, if we're dealing with the question of, did this actually happen? The answer is yes. Now, look at the way he words that. The first thing he says, this is of first importance. Now, Paul had been with these Christians in Corinth. He had spent some time with them, and he had taught them over a number of months. So there's no doubt that Paul taught a lot of stuff to this church. But he says, the most important thing that I taught you all the way along, the most important thing that I'm telling you right now, is that Jesus actually died, crucified by the Romans, was buried, and was raised from the dead. Those three things are the most important things that you need to hear, the most important things that you need to believe, and what I'm telling you is they actually happened. Now, he also says that these things were according to the Scriptures. Why does that matter? Now, remember, when Paul says Scriptures, he's talking about the first 39 books in the Bible, the Old Testament, because, I mean, he's writing parts of the New Testament even then, so it's not all done. Gospels and Acts probably aren't even done at this point. So he's talking about the Old Testament, and what he's saying is the fact that Jesus died, the fact that he was raised, was all according to what the prophecies that were hundreds of years old actually said. Okay, and Neil talked about the likelihood that one person would fulfill those prophecies, and it is overwhelming, right? I mean, this points to something unique in all of human history, that Jesus fulfilled all these things the prophets said would happen. And Paul's point is, God had a plan from the beginning. God knew exactly what we were going to do. God knew that we would sin, and he had to deal with that sin problem, and his plan from the start was for Jesus to become a human being, to die on a cross, to be buried, and to be raised. According to the Scriptures, God planned it hundreds of years, thousands of years before it happened. And we need to know that, that this is not plan B. This is God's plan to deal with the biggest problem that we have. That's what Paul's telling us. And then he continues. He says, and he appeared to Cephas. Now, who's Cephas? Cephas is Peter, because Cephas means basically rocky in Aramaic. Peter means rocky in Greek, so it's the same guy. He appeared to Cephas after he was raised from the dead, and to the 12, the apostles. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, that's Jesus' brother, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. Now, Paul's saying, listen, Jesus was actually raised from the dead. And if you're struggling to believe that, and guess what? Some people were, because people weren't raised from the dead in the ancient world any more than they are today, right? So, When we choose to believe in Jesus, we're choosing to believe something that is a little hard to believe, that somebody was raised from the dead, and they struggle with that too. But what Paul's saying is, listen, it wasn't just one or two people who saw Jesus after he was dead walking around with a real physical human body, right? It wasn't just a couple people. It wasn't somebody who had a dream that Jesus was alive. It wasn't someone who said, you know, I think I saw a ghost, and it sort of looked like Jesus. He says, Peter saw him. The apostles saw him. 500 people at the same place, at the same time, saw Jesus physically raised from the dead. Now, if I told you that something strange happened, that I had experienced it, and it was pretty unbelievable, you might say, I don't know about that, James. I'm not sure I can believe that actually happened. But if all 150 of us in this room, I mean, if we all witnessed the same thing happen in this room at the same time, that would be a little harder to deny, wouldn't it? I mean, if we all said, yeah, that's exactly what happened. Jesus was right there. We heard him talk. We saw him eat. We saw him pick stuff up. That same Jesus, we saw all of it. And furthermore, Paul says, you could even still talk to some of those people. Because as of the writing of this, some of them were still alive. Listen, you've got eyewitness testimony. In other words, Paul is saying, if you're struggling to believe this, weigh the evidence. And the evidence is there that this actually did happen. 500 people at one time saw the same thing. Not a dream, not a ghost, Jesus. Okay, so there's our first question. Did these things actually occur? There's viable, real evidence that Jesus lived among us, that he was crucified, that he was buried, that he was raised from the dead. All right, well, let's say we listen to all that evidence, and there's more, but that's the beginning of it. This actually happened. I can believe this happened because of the evidence that's been presented to me. So the next question is, well, just because it happened doesn't mean it has meaning for me. There's lots of events that we can look back in the history of the world and say, yeah, I believe it happened, but it doesn't really affect my daily life. It doesn't affect who I am. It doesn't affect my eternity. So why does this series of events affect me? And Paul wants to tell us that this is compelling and meaningful for every human being on the face of the earth for all time. And he's going to tell us why. So we read from 3 to 8. Now let's skip down to verse 20. Same chapter. He deals with all this in the same chapter. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So right there, he's saying, you believe Jesus was raised from the dead. We presented the evidence. You could talk to the people. 500, same time. Okay, I can believe that. What that points to is Jesus is the first. Now, there was a couple people Jesus miraculously raised from the dead. They died again. They're not walking around today. But Jesus didn't die again. He was the first fruits, the first of a harvest. We get that imagery. I mean, I don't know if you're like me, but let's say it's like maybe January 23rd, and it's 5 below, and the wind's blowing, and the ground is gray, the sky is gray, the trees are gray, everything is gray. On a day like that, I begin to wonder, you know, is spring really going to come this year, or is that just an imagination, right? And then finally, we begin to see, you know, daffodils come up. We begin to see different kinds of things bud out. And those are the first signs that there's going to be life. And we know what comes afterwards. We know how it sort of continues every year the same way life returns. And that's what Paul's telling us. That Jesus is the first, and who Jesus is and what Jesus has done is a sign of what's coming. He's the first one, but he's not the last one. This continues for all of humanity, because we're all going to be raised from the dead. He continues on, verse 21, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ will all be made alive. So just like, well, you know, sin came into the world because one person decided to say, I know what God said, but I think I know better, and he disobeyed. And every single person since then, except Jesus, has chosen to follow that same pattern. Every single one of us have said, I think I know better than God. I know what's better than me, better for me than what God says is better for me. So I'm just going to do what I want to do. And it's disobedience. It's sin. And the results of sin is separation from God, physical and spiritual death. That's the result. That came in through Adam, and we just continue right on that same path. But just as Adam brought death into this world, Jesus brings life. Jesus tells us that death is not the end of the story. Verse 23, but each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Paul's telling us that there is evil at work in our world. Now, we know it. We can look around and see it. We can look in our own lives and see it. But that's not the end of the story either. As much as all that evil causes destruction and death in our world and has throughout human history, in the end, because Jesus was raised from the dead and stands with God over this kingdom, the kingdom of God that he preached all about, in the end, all those forces of evil will be destroyed. Until when he returns, there's only one enemy left: death. And when he returns, death itself will be defeated as we are raised from the dead. So not only did these things actually happen, Paul says the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, never to die again, is a sign of what God has in store, that God's plan is at work, and that it has compelling meaning for us today and for eternity. So what's the lesson for us? And I think it's this, that we follow Jesus because he defeated death. If we want to think about why should I put my faith in Jesus Christ, why would I choose Jesus over everything else? The answer is that he defeated death. The greatest enemy of our physical bodies is death. The thing that robs us from being able to fulfill our purpose of reflecting the image of God to the world around us is death. And Jesus defeats that. And it just points to the fact that we can be confident in this person of Jesus, who actually did go through the things that Scripture describes and then fills that with meaning. And it addresses one of the difficult things in life. We have to face the fact, we have to grapple with the reality, the difficult reality that we're all going to die. We don't really want to think about it. We don't really want to talk about it. But yet there are these constant reminders in our lives when we have to deal with the death of someone we love. When we look at ourselves and we recognize we're aging, we all recognize that death is a reality. It is unavoidable. And yet here, we're reminded that, Jesus died too. But Jesus was also raised from the dead. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, we can overcome that fear of death. And it helps us sort of change our thinking about both death and life because, a lot of times when any of us goes to a funeral or we go to a graveside service and we see there's this person's body that we love and we're going to put it in the ground and we're all going to walk away and leave them, that's really hard. And it feels so final. It feels like the end when you walk away from that place. And what this passage is reminding us of is that the last page of that person's story has not been written. If we're talking about someone that has faith in Jesus Christ, what we know is that only a tiny portion of the story has been written, because there is eternity to look forward to. And it's not just some abstract eternity, it's resurrection. It is raised from the dead kind of eternity where we're going to spend the rest of, we can't even count the years, praising God together with people that we love just like we've done this morning. What we are doing today is a taste of what is to come. And so this enemy that seems so final is put in its place. And we're reminded that, as Jesus sometimes alluded to, when someone was dead, he might say they're asleep. And his point was, I'm going to wake them up, as he will us. But it also changes the way that we understand life, that this is just the beginning of something. That God has called us through Jesus into a relationship with him that is for eternity, but it's also for now. That we're called to spend this life serving this same God. That this life is not just about avoiding death, but it's about being involved in something that matters. And really reflecting that image of God that is present in every one of us. And so when we think about this question, why should I believe? Why should I put my trust in Jesus? This really is at the heart of how we consider that question. Because we're having to deal with this fact that Jesus really was raised from the dead. It did happen. And there is no event in all of human history, there is nothing of greater importance than this. Because it changes life, it changes death, and it changes eternity for every one of us. Let's pray together. Now, we're thankful for the good news that we find only in Jesus, that death really can be defeated. Now, we're thankful for the evidence that we have that points to the reality of what we see described in Scripture, but also the meaning behind it. So, God, help us to be good stewards of that story. Make it part of our lives and help us to share it with others. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and continue.